Tuesday. Today is October the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time today and catch up with Bill Bayless. He is chairman of the Ohio Soybean Council and talk about a recent trip he had to California to participate in Soy Connect, what that is all about, and what it does to benefit the soybean farmers of Ohio. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Bill Bayless, and Bill is currently serving as chairman of the Ohio Soybean Council. Bill, you've been doing some traveling, and we just want to go back maybe through a couple of the trips as you've been out representing Ohio soybean farmers in the council. One of those was a program called Soy Connect. Tell us a little about where that was and sort of what it was all about.
Soy Connect has been going on for a few years now. I think it used to be called a different name, but it's put on by the United States Soybean Export Council, and it's where we invite our customers from around the world to come to the United States, which they all look forward to actually see our crops growing and our facilities, transportation, so forth, how we can be the best provider of their soy needs.
What are some of the things that those countries are looking for? Are they leaning just to a reliable supply? Are they looking for sustainability type things? Is it all the above?
Kind of all of the above, but, you know, price has a factor.
Absolutely.
But reality then, we take those facts, and that's part, we, in this case, is what I'm calling the U.S. Soybean Export Council staff and directors. We try to show where our U.S. soybeans, through testing, have superior sides to them versus our big competitor in South America. South America, actually, you know, us farmers, they do have comparable or maybe a half a point higher protein value than we do, but their quality is not as well, or let's should say, I'd say on the positive side, our quality is better. Our customers all agree when they open a ship hold, or our quality is better. And that's based, part of it's on climate, part of it's on where we tend to grow more full season beans. They do a double crop scenario down there. They dry their beans, so that's all stress on the bean and the coloration and all around quality part.
Sure.
The other thing we try to promote the fact of is our transportation system. We are the very reliable supplier. So here in Ohio, matter of fact, we can go out through Cincinnati, Ohio River. We can truck it on over to go out the West Coast on rail. We can rail it out to East Coast. I was just in a meeting this summer, spring, where we're trying to promote the St. Lawrence Seaway out
through the Great Lakes.
Through the Great Lakes. So and there is the world changes, and I'm getting sidetracked from Soy Connect here, but it is a world market, and we have a European buyers now that used to buy from South America, but now that China has favored South America because maybe some political reasoning, that's opened up the European market to be more akin to buy from us just because they're not getting their supply down there as much. But that's what the Soy Connect is all about. We pull in, I think they said something like 750 people attended from, I can't remember for sure, but 42 maybe different countries. When we bring them all here, we try to pull in the top speakers in relation to soybeans because they want to know about markets just like we do.
Sure.
They're just on the other side of the market from us. But they're just as interested. We bring some of the top market speakers in. We bring some of the top people that knows how to balance the enzymes and nutrients to where if we're selling them a shipload of soybeans, even though it might cost a little bit more than our competitors' beans, the value ends up in the feed ingredient a better value.
Sure, better end product.
And that's what it's, I tell some of my neighboring fellow farmers here in the United States, it's like seed corn dealers. You know, we've got lots of seed corn dealers. How do you promote your seed? You offer them food, maybe a nice tent or place to have a meeting, bring in the best speakers you can that's of interest to those people, and then share with them the value of your product. And that's, in a nutshell, what Soy Connect is about. But it's a big world and a lot of interesting human beings. And, you know, I think 95% of them's good people.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's very rewarding to deal with people that's wanting our product and are really interested in the advantage of it and what we can do that can help them help themselves in their end result, whether it's food grade grade or feed grade.
My guest again today, Bill Bayless, chairman of the Ohio Soybean Council. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk economics, as USDA's chief economist recently explained some of the factors going into the department's September farm income forecast.
A net farm income forecast reflecting an over 4% year-over-year decrease per USDA this month. What's behind the forecast, though? Chief economist Seth Meyer recently conducted a more detailed look at the AgriPulse Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City. Crop producers are expected to receive 10% less income for their commodities in 2024.
Part of the reason that we're seeing softening commodity prices is because we have seen some improvement in some of the commodities in terms of global carryout, a period of a little bit greater global carryout outside of China.
There is also increasing downward pressure on some commodities already experiencing low prices. The U.S. corn crop, as an example, is set to be the nation's second biggest on record this year.
What are we going to do with that crop? Well, we got to have a combination of a robust livestock market domestically, got to send some to the ethanol plant, and we'd like to be able to export it.
Which leads to questions of where corn exports will be going and how competitive exports will be.
There is the blue Brazilian corn. That is a demand that China did not have in the past. China has now begun to accept Brazilian corn in the last year, year and a half, and that has really changed the competitive position for U.S. agriculture by way of exporting corn to China.
A similar story applies to soybeans, a record crop expected, which in prior years, some could be applied as crush for domestic biofuel production. Yet, there is competition from a feedstock perspective.
Large amounts of imports, both canola oil from Canada, which was already coming in to some extent before, and large amounts of growth of used cooking oil from overseas.
For the livestock and poultry sectors, however, net farm income is forecasted to increase over 7% from 2023. That is fueled by rising prices for eggs, cattle, milk, and broilers. The chief economist, though, notes that supply constraints are preventing even larger growth in income at a time when livestock commodity prices are strong.
Very strong cattle prices. But we're in a contraction phase of the cattle market. For eggs, this is a highly inelastic market in the short run. Only 5% fewer birds leads to a huge increase in prices.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.